Shalom and blessed be God. What a joy it is to understand the heart of Paul. Paul has written half of the New Testament books. We've got 27 books. The library of the New Testament has got 27 books. And half of those books are written by Paul. If we want to understand all the books, we want to understand the author. Sometimes we keep asking ourselves, how did Paul look like? What was in Paul? What was the philosophy of Paul? And we can only understand him when we read the letters or the epistles that he wrote to different groups, and particularly the one he wrote to the Corinthians. Corinthians was a church of hurting. You see, you can know the heart of a man when he is very happy or when he is very wounded. That's why we normally say that the book of Philippians is one of the most intimate letter, because it was a thank you letter. It was a letter when Paul was exorbitantly happy and rejoicing. It was a letter of rejoicing, and you know much of that. You can also know the heart of a man or a heart of a minister, heart of a woman of God, when he is extremely hurt. Because that time he can speak out what is in her heart, what is in his heart or her heart. And so Paul had already gone through reprimanding the church at Corinth through first letter. It had a lot of hurts. It was a letter where the kingdom of God was in risk, jeopardy. And when God healed this church, Paul wrote the second letter that we call the Second Corinthians. Although it's not the second letter, there are several other letters. Actually, there are two other letters that are not there, but might not, because this is what the Bible gives, and we take them by this. So Paul here is speaking his heart out, and we discover that one of the problem which Paul was responding to was that there were some apostles. They were self-imposed apostles, self-appointed apostles or ministers, but they were preaching the old covenant. They were called Judaizers. They were apostles who would follow apostolic team of Paul. And as soon as Paul left the place, they would come and try to deconstruct, try to change what Paul had said. They would listen to what Paul was saying, and they would take advantage of Paul being away. And they did that to the church at Corinth. And actually, they were the main cause of the divisions. They were the main cause of letting the church not have a cause or a vision, because they destroyed the vision that God had given this church through Paul. So Paul had already written in chapter 3 from verses 1 to 6 and explaining that he does not need a letter of recommendation, because they were the letter of recommendation. So he dealt with the letter of recommendation, which was one of the areas these self-appointed apostles were accusing Paul of. And they were using this to divide or to place a wedge of division between Paul and the church. Now, at this time, we want to deal chapter 2 Corinthians 3, chapter 7, all the way to 18. 11 verses. We want to deal with Paul helping them to understand the difference between the ministry of the Old Testament or covenant and the ministry of the New Covenant. In fact, he'll be comparing and contrasting the glory of the New Covenant and the glory of the Old Covenant, the minister of the Old Covenant and the minister of the New Covenant, because These people had tried to divide this church based on the new covenant and the old covenant. Maybe some people say that the second letter of Paul does not have an order because he keeps giving what was in his heart. No, what he's trying to do is to listen out with his children. And he is actually now trying to let them understand why he is doing what he is doing. And so we want to understand the glory. We want to see the glory of the Old Testament and the glory of the New Testament. We want to see what that glory meant. We want to see what is the glory. And we want to understand the difference between, as we have already said. And we want to, and particularly because these people are riding on Moses as their own key figure, Paul said, let me tell you something about Moses. Moses, who is the mediator of the old covenant, would cover his face with a veil. He would cover his face with a cover. And people thought that Moses was covering his face because the glory was too much. But the opposite is the truth. He was covering his face because he discovered, as Paul now will explain, that the glory that God has put in him, in his face, was fading, and he didn't want to see. He did not want people to see that the glory was reducing. He discovered today the glory is much, tomorrow is reducing, the day after tomorrow is getting lesser and lesser when Moses is not in the presence of God. And so he would cover, and Paul would use that as a way to say, let's not cover our hearts. He used that as a metaphor now to help them understand that they don't need to cover their hearts for the glory of God. So Paul now says, now if the ministry that brought death, now he compares the two ministry, the ministry of the old covenant, the ministry of the new covenant, and remember he is doing this because the self-appointed apostles are using the basis of the old ministry, or the ministry of the old covenant. They are taking people back to the so-called the roots. But now Paul says, now if the ministry that brought death, that's the ministry of the old covenant, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory. Now he's now speaking about glory. So that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory through though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Now, look at, I wanted to see that Paul is now comparing. He talks about the ministry of the old covenant, and the ministry of the new covenant, he also called it the ministry blot by the Spirit, or the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So the Old Testament is that Moses was the mediator, and God mightily used Paul, and he put on the glory. Now, what is the glory? The glory is the manifestation, is the physical manifestation of the attributes of God. Now, who God is and what God is shown physically, or God let himself be known or be seen. When that happens, we have seen the glory of God. So the glory of God is seeing God through what he has done. Probably God would come as by healing. When God heals, we say we have seen the glory of God. When God has provided miraculously bread, like the way he did manna, that was the glory of God. When God would come in a cloud and we see him enter into the temple, that is, we say we see the glory of God. It's like the way you engrave, you know, a metal in a particular soap. When you see what has been engraved, you don't see the metal, but you see where the metal was put in that soap or piece of wood. I mean the piece of clay. You can be able to see that engravement. That is what we call the glory. So the Paul says He compares the glory of the Old Testament and the glory of the Spirit, which is more glorious. But for the first, for the one that came through Moses, or that was taken to the Israelites through Moses, it was in his face, and that glory was transitory. It was fading. It was decreasing. But he says the glory of the new covenant is increasing. Verse 9, if the ministry that brought condemnation, that he said the Old Testament ministry was the ministry of death, is a ministry that brought condemnation, but it was still glorious. We could see God. It brought death, but it was glorious. We'd see condemnation, brought condemnation, but it was glorious. How much more glory is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. Now he said that that time, that which was glorious has already been fulfilled. So if this minister are using the Old Testament as a basis, it is they're using that which is decreasing and cannot be compared with what is now. That was the, you know, the reasoning. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much more greater is the glory that which lasts? He says the glory that was in the old was transitory, that was moving, was adding, was reducing, but the one that is in the New Testament, it lasts. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Now Paul now speaks of the new covenant glory. He says that since we have such a hope of the new covenant, we are very bold. We are not like Moses. Now he compares himself with Moses. See, Moses was not that bold, because when he discovered the glory is reducing, he covered himself. He says, but we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelite from seeing the edge of what was passing away. Here it is. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, or the book of Moses are read, the five books, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord Jesus, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image for ever increasing glory, which come from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, basically, Paul is trying to compare the glory of the old that was transitory with the glory of the new. He says it came through Moses. This one came through Jesus. It came through God in man, or God, man, Jesus. And it is through the Holy Spirit. That one was moving. This one is lasting. That was from death. This is giving life. That was condemnation. This is righteousness, no condemnation. And he says Moses would cover his face and saw, because they didn't want to see people. He did not want people to see that the glory was moving or transiting, but this one lasts forever because the Spirit indwells in us and it gets more and more. And then Paul says that when people still remember what Moses was doing, a veil covers their hearts. Now Paul takes the image and he says that veil that covered the face of Moses was covering the hearts of people, such that they could not be able to see the glory of God forever, or allowing the glory of God to shine forever. And then he says, every time the Old Testament is read, people's hearts are covered by the veil. But then he says, when we come to Jesus, that veil is removed. And so Paul is speaking about the superiority of Jesus, not going back to the circumcision, not going back to the agendas of the Old Testament, because the activities of the Old Testament have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus speaks everything. We don't need to go back to the bulls, to the blood of the bulls and the sacrifices of the old. We need to worship Jesus in the spirit and in faith. Paul gave this so that he could win back his children and tell them that these self-apostles, self-appointed apostles, they are using the old script. We are using the new script. Father, we thank you for the glory of God. Let it shine in our lives. In Jesus' name.